Please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Free course. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I'd like you to circle the word unreasonable, because all of us have unreasonable people in our life that are... Are you with me? Yeah. Do a lot of you have unreasonable people? You ever run into an unreasonable request or person? Okay, so you're with me. I just heard you mumbling. I didn't know if you were getting cheeseburgers or what. So you want to be delivered, he says, from unreasonable and wicked men. And then he makes a great statement, and some of us forget this. Sometimes not all men have faith. So there are people that you really like, or maybe you're a single woman and you're wanting to date this guy and you just know things aren't right, or you're a single man wanting to date this woman. Not all people have faith. That's sad. They can get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear except the word be preached? So you have the responsibility for the people you love of putting them in front of somebody that's preaching the word of God so that they can come to know him. You can't be an isolationist as a Christian. You have to bring people. But the Lord is faithful. Circle that. It's a great thing to always remember. Just memorize, even if nothing else, that statement out of that. If you don't remember the whole verse, the Lord is faithful. He's always faithful. And the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. That's an important one. Underline every word there. The Lord direct your hearts. You know, pornography directs some people's hearts. Heroin directs other people's hearts. Lust directs somebody else's heart. Bitterness can direct somebody else's heart. Greed, anger, all sorts of things. The fruit of the flesh direct people's hearts. But I like that he says, the Lord direct your heart. So in your prayers, you can always say, Lord, please direct my heart. Into the love of God. So this is directed right at the love of God. And into the patient, underline that, waiting for Christ. So here he is in the first century using the word patient. How important to be patient about the return of Jesus. So he's telling them, as he's telling us 2,000 years later, be patient. He's going to come in his timing, not our timing. Now we command you, he's not instructing, he's commanding, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother, so any Christian that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received from us, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behaved ourselves, not ourselves, disorderly among you. So you become a role model. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but we worked with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not the power to like take an offering or something, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Would you say that out loud with me? But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Some of you might be tired from being a good person. You're sick of it. You're sick of being nice to people. You're tired. He said, don't weary in doing good. If any man obeys not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. That's the second time he said, draw away from people that aren't walking with the Lord, if he's called a brother, that he may be ashamed. So, if Paul teaches something and you have friends that call themselves Christians and they're living a lifestyle and they know it's wrong, unless you correct them and say, did you know the Bible says da-da-da, then you're not to hang out with them. Why? I'll tell you that in a minute. But if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that you may be ashamed, that he may be ashamed. Yes, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That's very important for the Christian community. You've heard over and over, I'm sure, that we are the only group of people that shoot our wounded, that we're not very kind to people that slip or slide or get in trouble or commit a sin. We get very critical against people. And I think this is really important. Count him not as an enemy, but as a brother. Admonish him as a brother. And so you don't disown your cousin or your sister or your dad or your mom. You may pull back from them, but they're not the enemy. And the enemy of your soul is very clever at putting the bullseye on people that aren't the enemy. And, you know, the crosshairs of a scope if you're a hunter. And you start taking shots at a pastor. You take shots at a minister or shots at somebody in the church that's a really nice person. And he says, you shouldn't do that. We aren't the enemy. The enemy is on the outside. You remember Gary Larson, the cartoonist? Always had, what was his name? Was it Gary? What was his name? Gary Larson. See, I told you. He always had these offbeat humors as one of two deers, and they're standing up on their hind legs, and they're in the forest, and one of them has a bullseye on his chest, and the other one says, bummer of a birthmark, Fred. You know, the devil likes to put the bullseye on people that it shouldn't have the bullseye. And besides that, we should be gentle people, and we should be willing to give some grace to people because God's given so much to us. Now, what he does tell us is we don't give the farm away. We do admonish and we do correct, but we don't destroy. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Turn with me for just a moment, if you would. I'd like to tie up Thessalonians with the first psalm, Psalm 1, if you'd go to Psalm 1. And that, if you're a new Christian, that's not palms. You're not a palm reader, you're a psalm reader, okay? Very important for you to know. Okay, Psalm 1. And this is a psalm I'd like to give you as an assignment this week that by next Wednesday night you'd have it memorized. Very simple psalm. It's only six verses. But this psalm will stick with you. It's one of the very first portions of scriptures I memorized as a baby Christian. And if you split it up and you just take one or two verses, they're powerful on their own. But when you put the picture together, the six verses, you understand why Paul is saying admonish, pull away from. He wants you to stay pure with the Word of God. But if you pull away from the Word of God, you're going to have a problem. And the problem's going to build. I had a very dear friend of mine recently say, I've had two in the last couple of weeks say, you know, I'm glad you said that, or I'm glad I got the e-connect, because you are right. I am not reading the scriptures like I used to. And it is so important in these times to really get into the Word of God. Look at Psalm 1. Would you read out loud with me? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we've studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We're going to finish off that third chapter again. And if you're following us on Sunday morning, you're seeing the importance of Bible prophecy and how accurate it is, as we have only two more messages left from Daniel. But you take the book of Revelation that we've gone through chapter and verse for 25 weeks. We've taken Thessalonians, written to a church in the end times after the church has started, after they too are exposed to what is coming, and this community is going to spread the gospel. John passes on the revelation. All through the New Testament, St. Paul and the writers remind us about the future. There's really no religion on the earth that really talks positively about the future and where you, the believer, will be in the future. There's all sorts of mysticism and Eastern religions and philosophies and experiences that you can have. But when it comes with living for eternity with the Creator of heaven and earth, there's not a religion. That's very sad when you think of it. So we've looked at Daniel, take us in our Sunday morning messages and show us that God prophesied hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ahead. Then we've systematically looked at many of those prophecies have been fulfilled. Then in the last few weeks, we've seen the 70-week prophecy, with 62 of those weeks being right up to the very day Jesus came in to Jerusalem riding lowly on a donkey. 483 years earlier to the day it was prophesied, to that very day that he would come in, from the time that Artaxerxes gave the commandment. We went and looked at Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2, how Artaxerxes wrote in his own handwriting and signed a letter that Nehemiah could start the rebuilding of Jerusalem and hang the gates. So now we know that the Bible is very real. So in Thessalonians, we realize, okay, there's a way to be living as we're waiting for the Lord. In Revelation, we're told the broad picture that the church is very important, but she will be removed, and then tremendous judgment will be coming. So there's no way that we can sit around any longer and not do something about it. We should just be overflowing with tremendous joy that whatever we do in the Lord, we try to drag every friend along. In Korea, next year is the 100th anniversary that the gospel was brought to South Korea. And do you know they're praying 50,000 at a time, 100,000 at a time in prayer meetings in Korea, asking for a revival? Now, Tom Phillips is director of our operations now, and he's been with us, almost a year in April, and came from Billy Graham's ministry. He's 25 years with Mr. Graham. He was the executive vice president of all of Mr. Graham's crusades around the world. He was the director of all training at the Cove, the training center, and of all the schools of evangelism. And he's now here at Horizon full-time helping me, taking a load off my back, to say the least. We just recently hired Dan Southern, and Dan was one of Mr. Graham's crusade directors. And Dan oversaw five associate evangelists for Mr. Graham and ran five crusades simultaneously at a time. He's a very gifted man. And Tom and Dan are right now in Korea, and they've been there for a week and getting in advance for the Festivals of Life. On this weekend, they preached in churches of 20,000 and 50,000. And these people are excited that Horizon is coming to Korea. Businessmen are helping and promising that they are going to help take care of expenses so that it doesn't drain us here. They want to line us up in the 10 largest city of Korea and hoping that what happened 100 years ago will happen next year in 2007. We probably have a few million people specifically starting this week to pray for us as a congregation that we will come, not just me as an evangelist, but we will come and that we will help stir them up. Are you ready for that? A nation, God is calling our church. But yet we're not excited enough to grab everybody we know and get them involved in the things of the gospel. So we need to get a revival in our hearts. Now, I try to keep a fire lit in my heart all the time. And so if the Lord's calling me to go to do something, I want to do it. But with our new move that is coming up, I can tell you that the Lord is going to do something, one last big sweep in San Diego. And I'm afraid that many of the people of this church are going to get left behind because they're not taking the seriousness of what God has been trying to say through the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, because you're here and you do care and you are a person that loves the Lord and loves the Word. The Lord is coming back. And this country and this world has some really dark days coming forward. And like Paul, I can say I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And as far as my city, like him going to all of his cities, I have told everyone, I have warned, I have done what God has asked me to do. So I want to encourage you that you will be like this person in Psalm 1, that you will take the scriptures like Paul has given them through the epistles that he wrote to 1 and 2 Thessalonians, like John took and gave to the entire Christian community throughout history through the revelation, like Daniel took and went through tremendous experiences from the time he was 16 years old to take all of his talents and his wealth, lay him on the altar and be able to be the counselor for some of the greatest leaders in the history of the world. Not just the Jews, but for the Babylonians and for the Medes and the Persians, the Iranians. This old guy, even to his dying breath, is counseling kings with the Word of God. So God is calling you to get on fire for him. And we don't know if the Lord's coming back tonight or tomorrow, if he's coming back a year from now. But we know this, we want to be about our Father's business. So in Psalm 1, he tells you something tonight if you'll take it, not for granted, but you'll take it to heart. Blessed. Only word in the Bible, other than hallelujah, hallelujah is the only heavenly word that we find that isn't in the language of anybody in the world. It's a heavenly word that was brought out of heaven through the translation of the Bible and then put in dictionaries. It means praises unto the Lord. And we get that because of the saints praising the Lord in heaven. But the word blessed or blessed to be blessed, literally in the Greek language of the New Testament, the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, in both languages, it means, oh, how happy is the person. How much to be envied is the person that comes after the word blessed. That's a literal translation. You're to be an envied person. It really means that you are just a person that has heaven poured out upon you. So who is the blessed person? That's what you want to be. You want to receive all the blessings that God has. So who is the blessed person? He defines it for you. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So ask yourself, in light of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, are there people that call themselves a quote-unquote brother or sister in your life that are walking disorderly or not walking according to the scriptures and the word that Paul has given? Are there people that you hang with that you are not admonishing or reproving or loving them or chiding them in a gentle way to say this is wrong before God and you are not beside them? The person that is blessed is the one that's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you're hanging with brothers and sisters that are acting or living or walking or talking ungodly, it's going to influence you. You're not blessed. If you are taking the counsel of ungodly people, if you have an Eastern mysticism background and you have woven the Kundalini experience or some of the weird stuff I used to study into your Christianity, you have the counsel of the ungodly in your life. If it's you and the tarot cards, or you and the Marajawini, or you and the Odules, or you and something other than you and the Lord, you've got the counsel of the ungodly inspiring you. So you want to be a blessed person. I mean, as blessed as Daniel, as blessed as Paul, as blessed as the Apostle John, he tells you right here. The person that's blessed does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, number one. Number two, doesn't stand in the way of sinners. So what does that mean? You are not found in locations that is full of blatant sin. You're not walking in parades that are blaspheming God. You're not sitting in movie theaters that are disgraceful to God. You're not watching things on your computer. You're not taking your money and putting it into places that would be sinful. You're not over in Las Vegas gambling. You are not standing in the way of sinners. You're not taking the counsel of ungodly. Two things that you have the power over to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. You see, you have a lot of power. The devil does not want you to know that you have power to make your life a blessed life. He wants you to live your life, but under his influence. When you're a blessed person, you are not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor are you standing in the way of the sinners. And the third thing that he says, nor are you sitting in the seat of the scornful. And you see, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul just taught us, as we all read it, that we are not to look at the brother that is overtaken in fault as the enemy, but to admonish them as a brother. So it's admonishment through love. So there's three things that you can say right now before we pray and go home. Lord, I don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful and scorn people and criticize and condemn and judge. I commit them to you. You're the judge. And at the same time, I like to say, I am frightened to death that I even thought these bad thoughts about those people because I know that people can think those about me. And Lord, judge and you shall be judged, the Bible says. So you want to say tonight, Lord, help me not be a scornful person that I'm scorning, talking negative, I'm talking down. Help me not stand in the way of the sinners. If there are things that you really enjoy, that you're endorsing by your presence being there that could stumble somebody, you have to say, I'm not going to run with the crowd anymore. I love them, but I have to discipline myself to be with you. And the third thing is, Lord, there are people in my life. There are videos in my collection. There are books in my library. Do you know in the book of Acts that when they came into the city, that one city got so turned upside down by Paul's preaching that there were a lot of witches in that town? And the book of Acts tells us that they went and they renounced their witchcraft and they got all their books of the occult and they put them in the middle of the town square and they lit them on fire and they burned all their books. Present day dollars, I think the value that it talks about for the amount of silver that they're worth, about $100,000 to $200,000 cash. That they just said, this is out of my library. And they were saying to God, we're burning it. That's it. So I want you to think of this for a moment. If you want to be a blessed person, if you don't want to be and you want to be a mediocre person, then just go on your own way. But if you want to be a blessed person, these three things, get them out of your life and see yourself. Not better than, not above, not special, you know, but a person that's blessed. And the blessing comes with obedience. That's all. So it takes some discipline. Now look at the second thing in verse 2. But his delight, whose? The blessed person. So now you want to know, if these were the delights that hang out with people that, you know, feed you bad info and hang out with people that you endorse what they endorse, and you know, you got a mouth that's always tearing people down, and you delighted in that, you got your identity from that, he says, now, but the delight has changed. Here's the delight. So now you want to do the next prayer. Lord, let me delight in what you delight in. What is it? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So the question to yourself is, am I meditating day and night in the scripture? Because if I'm not, then I'm not delighting in the law of the Lord, am I? It's not a delight to read the scriptures, is what I'm really saying. If I really want to delight in something that's pleasing to God, then I should be doing it. And if I'm not doing it, it means I don't delight in the things of the Lord. And being in his law, or in his word, or in his truth, or in his scriptures, as it is all called, those different names, it's going to make me strong. It's in the law of the Lord does he meditate day and night. And what happens if I stop these three things and start a new delight of being a person of the scriptures? What happens to me? Well, he tells you what you become like by delighting. You become, you, verse 3, he shall be like a tree. All right, but what kind of tree? Am I going to be a nut tree that only squirrels hang around, or what kind of tree? Well, he tells you you're going to be a really great tree. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. That's the kind of tree you are. You see, if you were to take a sapling or a seed or a little tree from a nursery tonight, you know, just a sprig of a tree and want to replant it, and you went out to Borrego Springs and you went 5 miles any direction from any highway or any civilization and you planted that tree, it might last a little bit, a few days or something, but boy, once the sun comes out, it's going to dry those roots up because there's no water down there. Now, you may be a tree. You may be a fruit tree. You may be a weird tree. You may be a fake tree. I don't know what kind of tree you are. But if you are not planted in the right spot, you're never going to bear your fruit in your season. And that's the key. It says the person that delights themselves in the word of the Lord and does meditate day and night has stopped these three things. That person is going to be parallel to a tree who's been planted by the rivers of water. Not just water. Rivers are flowing. So it's always got a source and it's always fresh. And the roots are going down along that bank and it's always drinking. So you're planted in the right place is what it's saying. If you're not a person that's in the word with the Lord, then you're not planted in the right place. Therefore, you will succumb to ungodly counsel. You will stand in the way of the sinner, and you'll scorn other people, and you won't admonish those that are not adhering to the word of God, and they call themselves your brother or sister, nor will you pull yourself away, as he exhorts you to do, from the party crowd or the people that are not living godly lives but claim to be Christians. Am I making sense so far? All right. So follow me along here. You'll be like this river. His leaf also shall not wither. Now that's really important. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Three things. You become a tree, planted, you're rooted, you're in the right place. But secondly, your leaf doesn't wither. Now, I've been coming to this campus for 20 years. And I remember the first time we had a baptism at Mission Bay. And Mickey Stonier and I had looked at this school. And we heard it was up for auction. And so we've been praying for this school. And Sandy and I came by the campus and the gate was locked over here. You couldn't get on the campus. I thought, how would we ever afford something like this? Man, this thing is huge compared to the North Park Theater, a quarter of acre of land for 22 acres of land. We went from 20,000 square feet to close to 100,000 square feet. We went from a $100 water bill to a $1,000 a month water bill. We went from a $1,000 a month light bill to a $10,000 to $12,000 a month light bill. We went to, you know, $50 a month for insurance to $300 a month. We went from 20 people to 350 people working. And you just say, how do you do this, Lord? And I remember putting my hands through the cyclone fence and looking into the campus and praying, if you want us to be here, Lord, it would be a joy to see you put this thing together. And it has been a joy. It's been a great 20 years. It's been fun to watch him do all that he has done here. But I would have to say that if many of you and the thousands that have gone on to other churches and started works and gone out around the world had not been men and women of the scripture with your roots down next to the water, your leaf would have withered up a long time ago and there would be no church. There are a lot of churches that when I started 32 years ago in town that aren't here anymore. They're not in town. But I've always enjoyed getting off the freeway and driving to this campus and seeing the seasons by the trees on this campus. You know, when we took this campus over, the school district was somewhat broke then. They're really broke now. But one of the first things I says, Lord, if you could just give me the faith to have the money to encourage the people to be givers, one of the things we want to do is witness to this community. Could we put a lawn in? That's a quarter mile from that corner to this corner. I said, thousands of people go by here every day. It would be so nice because it was dirt. It's just plain old dirt hillsides. The trees were overgrown. There was no manicuring. It was just a stupid-looking place. And we planted bushes along here and trees along here. And boy, I can see when it's going to be spring and summer and fall by the trees, by the leaves that haven't withered. Because we have a general services team that comes out and they make sure everything's working, but then we spend $100,000 a year for guys to come through and they trim and they prune and they clip and they shape and they fertilize and they do their job. And boy, some of the notes we've gotten over the 20 years, boy, that campus is a joy to drive by because it's always so fresh and green. You know, that's the Holy Spirit that does something like that. Well, what if you were a cocaine addict? Would your leaf blossom in every season? Absolutely not. Because you could get so stoned during the day that when it was your season to go to work into your cubicle and do your work, you're out of your gourd and you can't do it. You may be somebody that's really prone to drink a lot of beer or Jack Daniels at night. Your leaf withers. You get up with a headache. You get up with a hangover. You're not at full speed, really working to the optimum that God created you to do. You know, you may not have your leaf blossoming in its season. All of us have seasons. We have our ups and downs. But we have our lives, and we have our ups and downs. But there are certain things that you and I accomplish just without even thinking of them. If you're a mommy or a daddy, man, and your leaf withers, what about your children? Think of that. But the person that delights himself in the word of the Lord and meditates day and night is like a tree that's planted. He's in the right spot. He's in God's word, and his leaf doesn't wither. Otherwise, it's going to change colors with every season. And I love this. Underline that. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Man, you feel like a failure? You want to prosper? Right here. It's that simple. Now, you can translate it, money's your thing, but if you're talking about friendships, you're talking about your health, you're talking about your education, you're talking about anything to prosper. One of the reasons you may not be prospering in any given area or your entire life is because you're not in the right place. It's that simple. Oh, you may be having some fun, but you know in your heart of hearts, deep down, something's not right. It's because people come up to you and you can have all the makeup and all the toys and all the charades to look like you are successful and your heart is empty. It's those leaves are going to fall off. One of the guys I like reading was O. Henry. And O. Henry always wrote about New York. And I remember I was hitchhiking around the country in my early 20s and I had no money and I just worked stupid jobs, get enough money, and it was very lonely, and I'd get drunk every night, I'd make enough money to go to a tavern, and I remember this one place I lived in. It was $5 or $10 for the whole week. Top floor is a flop house, it was called, and there was a little metal grating in there, and there was ice outside of Chicago. It was a horrible winter, and I was freezing, had one blanket, and the bathroom is at the end of the hall. Well, you had to walk by some pretty weird people and rooms. I mean, we're talking one room with a cot. That was it. That's what I lived in. And this bathtub was so gross. I never took a bath. I did stand in it one night and splashed water on myself. But that was it. I went maybe 6 days without a shower or anything. It was foul. And I had $2 to my name. And I bought a half gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, and a half a pound of bologna. And that was my food for that week. And then I'd go to work in the morning, this factory deal. I had a job at $2 an hour. And I remember the first night, I thought, I got some food. This is great if I can only make it a week so I can get a paycheck. And I put it out on the window. I'm on the top floor of this old 1920s hotel. And in the morning when I woke up, the bologna was frozen to the half gallon of milk. The milk wasn't even a milkshake. And the bread, man, I could have gone to Vietnam and killed people with that bread just throwing it around. It was as hard as rock. My life was withered. My leaf was withered. I was in the wrong place. I was in the wrong place, right time, but wrong place, but I did not prosper. I did not prosper when I ran my own life. I've prospered when God is in charge, but not when I run my own life. You see, when I read the scriptures, and you read the scriptures, a story pops out, and you go, oh, within a week, there's something going on in your life, and you say, oh, boy, I just read about that in the Bible. Elijah was confronting Obadiah, and he thought such and such, and Obadiah, yeah, boy, this is what I'm going, and I have the wisdom of God to help me. His leaf doesn't wither. So that's what it's like, and you're prospering. Now, he parallels to you, if you're willing to make this commitment, the ungodly, they're not so. What do you mean they're not so? Well, they're not like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. They have no resource that's really spiritual feeding their roots. They're not in the right place. Secondly, their leaves do wither, and some of you have old boyfriends and girlfriends that they go through cycles in their lives, but where's the fruit? You know, they may be the prettiest girl in Pacific Beach or the biggest muscle guy in Mission Beach, but you look at them, how vain and how empty they are. And just, you know, pig pen. You look at them and say, boy, that's just, you know, a cloud without rain. It's an empty suit. There's nothing there. It's just somebody playing the game. And do they really prosper? And you look now and say, no, they really don't. Well, the ungodly are not so. They do not prosper. They are not in the right place with the resources of the Spirit. And their leaf does wither. The ungodly are not so, he says, but they are just the opposite. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. So now he's talking to the Jews who know about going in the field and getting the wheat and the chaff's on the ground. The wind gets it away, or they get the chafing fans and blankets and they start shaking it and they just move it away. And some of you, like myself, have been the chaff. And some of you hang out with the chaff and party with the chaff. And some of you love people that are nothing but chaff. Remember what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, not all men have faith. So some of you have to make decisions of the future. What if you're to get pregnant with this person? Is this the person you'd really want to spend the rest of your life with? You think you're going to change them 5 years from now when the baby comes and is growing up and they treat you like this now? Come on, wake up and smell the coffee. It's brewing. Don't deceive yourself. The ungodly aren't so. They're just chaff that blows away with the wind. And therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And you just studied Revelation, and Revelation said the godly shall stand. So you're going to stand. The ungodly aren't going to stand. Now, I was ungodly and you were ungodly. So does that mean there's hope for ungodly people? Absolutely. But how are they going to change from ungodly to godly unless they see a true witness like yourself that loves them? I had a lot of people around me when I was going to school, and they were Christians, and they were talking to me about Jesus, and they were after me, and I didn't know it. From my music class to my cinema class to my speech class to my history class, there was always somebody talking to me or handing me a Bible or a scripture or saying, come to church. Had they not ever invited me to go to church, I wouldn't be sitting here tonight. You may want to say to yourself, when's the last time I invited somebody to a home Bible study? What a great place to sit down and just see people, study the Word of God. Now, they're not so. They shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I love it that he says the Lord knows the way of the righteous, because you and I don't really always know the way, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And so there are ungodly people. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll say a prayer and give you a chance right now to let the Holy Spirit baptize you with his power and give you his gifts and release you to his service in these last hours of man's history. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Tom sent me an email from Seoul, Korea. They're in another town right now, and the mayor and the district attorney and all these civic leaders are getting together for prayer meetings every day and Bible studies. And they said in all their years of traveling with Mr. Graham and helping, they said, this is the first time we've ever seen a first-time response and invitation for just meeting people as warm and as sincere and as compelling as what is happening. I know in my life I was prepared for what is going to come in the future. I thought it would have come 10 or 20 years ago for some reason, but it's coming now because I'm too old and I can't be as feisty, I guess. I don't know. But I'm just telling you that the Lord has a lot for you if you want a lot with the Lord. But you have to make the decision. You have to make the decision. And I was told by the Lord that when I would come to this place in my life and he would open up mass evangelism to win people to him, like what is going to be happening in the next few years, that Jesus would be back. I know he's coming back. And we all need to just get right there beside the river and lap that water and let our roots get saturated with his word. And he will honor you and he will bless you. So here it is. Finally, brethren, pray for us. So you want to pray for each other. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Free course. Is it flowing through your life like that river of water? Free course. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Blessed is the man that stands not in the way of the sinner. Right? Deliver us from unreasonable people, Lord. For all men have not faith. You have to make a decision. If you're a female that's born again, you have a spirit, a body, and a soul, and you think you're going to make it with this guy that only has a body and soul, has never been born again, you got to think that one over. If you're a man and you're in love with this woman, has a body and a soul but no spirit, you got to think that one over. Not all men have faith. And faith comes by being in this word. And if that body and soul is so seductive that it can pull you away from the word, you may want to say, wow, it's been a long time since I've been close to the Lord. This person is being used by the enemy to seduce me. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you do both and will to do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves. Would you read the rest of this verse with me? That you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. He's exhorting you. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but we worked with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not the power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So you need to become role models that you will stand for righteousness. And it may be an unpopular thing. And there may be two or three buddies or friends that are into something that's not right. You have to stand and withdraw. And why? Here's what I think. I think that I'm a light. And wherever I am, that light shines. Even if I'm in a bad mood or I'm not feeling well or I got the flu, I'm in some office talking to somebody, I'm doing something, that light is in me and it's shining. And if I'm with you as brothers and sisters and you're doing some weird stuff and I'm the light shining, as long as you can see the light, you think I'm endorsing you. And you think it's okay to do what you're doing. The minute I pull away, I may be the last light that's shining in our little friendship circle, and you're going to be in darkness. And when you see me, I'm going to be a light, like a pin light of a star in a dark sky. You look up and you see those stars, but they're not right next to me. And you may be the only person blocking the Holy Ghost from really dealing with this situation. But you say, I'll lose my friend. You know, they won't talk to me anymore. What do you think Jesus did when he went to the cross? Says all of his friends stood afar off. He had to make a decision. He either loved you or he didn't love you. And since he went to the cross for you, he poured his life out. And part of that was standing up for righteousness and dying for the sins of the world. So he says you have to make a decision. For even when we were with you, we commanded you. For we hear that some of you are walking in disorderly manners, working not at all with your hands. Some of them that are such we command and exhort you. By the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness, just do your job and eat with your own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Keep going for the Lord. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, take a note of who that man is and have no company with him, that you may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now the salutation of Paul, with my own hand, which is the token to every epistle, so I write. Now, this is interesting in closing. There were a lot of fake letters out there in the early church, and these wolves were preying on the Christian community. And they were writing stuff, and they were saying that they were Paul the Apostle. But Paul, who had really bad eyes, maybe glaucoma, we don't know, but his eyes were poor, we pick up in the scriptures, he would hand sign in front of his witnesses, this was his signature. So to this church, he's saying again, this is my signature. I have sealed this with my handwriting. So the scholars came along and had this trail and found which ones were the real Pauls and which weren't. Now the real Pauls always were faithful to point out that we were sinful people. The fake Pauls were always faithful to allow you to do anything you wanted to do and party and get drunk and do whatever, but never called you to responsible Christian living. So it was the signature that endorsed the word, and then the Holy Spirit blessed. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with some of you. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot there are some people that read their Bibles and test me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He is a Texan, like Sarah. Amen. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Y'all. Lord, I'd like to pray for these men and women right now. I want to pray a very special heavenly blessing, because I sense in my spirit we're very close to your return, and you're blowing the trumpet in Zion to bring the body of Christ to a place that it's never been before, ever. And these people are really faithful people that want to know you, and they're here because they love you and they love your word. But I'm asking, Father, that you would now ignite in them a fire, a revival spirit, a renewal in their commitment to you, that they would cry out to you tonight and say, I want to be the blessed man. I want to be the blessed woman. I don't want to stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, or go the way of the ungodly. I don't want to be like chaff. Lord, I want to be in the right place. I want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Father, that my leaves would glorify you, and people would know the seasons by what my leaves are doing, and see that I'm consistent and obedient to your word. And Lord, I want to be a person that prospers. And just ask that of the Lord. He'll prosper you. Just don't be greedy. There's a difference. You want to prosper spiritually. Father, may you baptize us all with your Holy Spirit right now. And I would ask that whatever issues, problems that people are facing right now, from row 1 to row 18, to the middle, to the left, to the right, to the videos that are being watched right now, to the radio broadcasts, or to the people on the internet around the world, may your Holy Spirit just move, inspire, stimulate, stir up, bring commitment forth that, yes, we want to take the rest of our lives for what you've prepared them to be, Lord, and we want to be your people to spread the gospel. Give us the courage to confront those around us that are influences in negative ways. Give us the courage to admonish our brothers and sisters that it's time to get away from the world and get close to Jesus. May you bless our church. May we be used by you. May you bless those thousands and thousands in Korea that are praying for the festival. We pray for the many, many people in Poland that are praying for the festival as it comes to them this summer, and to the people in Mexico for November for our festival down in Chiapas, and all the people that are praying, and the couple hundred churches that are down there just getting ready. We pray, Lord, for the multitude of radio stations that are going to go online here shortly. Thank you for the 7 brand new ones we got this week. Thank you, God. Just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in radio. And we want to be faithful to just giving your gospel. And if the day comes that we can't publicly meet, Lord, we know you've given us a vehicle, the internet, and at least Horizon as a church has a huge national voice. I'd like to pray for these men and women. You'd bless them, because they're the tithers and they're the givers and the offerings. And you'd bless the pennies and bring them back nickels. And you'd bless their nickels and bring them back dimes. And I pray you'd bless those that give dimes and bring them back quarters. And bless those that give quarters and bring back dollars. And bless those that give dollars, they'll bring back fives. And those that give fives, bring back 10. And those that give 10, bring them back 20. And those that give 20, bring them back 50s. And those that give 50, bring them back 100. And those that give 100, bring them back 1,000. And prosper them as they are helping you spread the gospel. Prosper them. Prosper their health. Prosper their friendships. Prosper everyone here that's grieving, that's felt any pain in recent days. Prosper everybody that's full of stress or struggling. Prosper those that have questions. Help them receive these answers. And Lord, bless these people that they would be a fruitful tree. Just let them be in the right place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.